We're doing it live.
Hello, and welcome to the fourth episode of Stories from the Sideshop. This is very exciting because it's the first episode that we're doing on the road. I have with me in his studio, the one and only Ben Disadat Long. How are you, my friend?
Welcome, Samuel. I'm so happy to be here. So happy you're here in quote-unquote studio space.
We're in the great city of New Orleans. How do you say it correctly?
New Orleans. New Orleans. Orleans. Any number of ways are acceptable.
We're here. I made it.
You made it alive, well.
I didn't make it to do this podcast, but we're doing it incidentally.
It's happening.
You caught me in here. So I woke up first this morning. So me and Mrs. Pirate came down here because Ben's my college roommate. We've been friends for a long time. And so me and Adriana are taking a vacation down here. And so I woke up first. Ben has a lovely house here. His wife is traveling, so it's just us three. I woke up early, and I snuck on in like a little mouse to his giant rig, his giant war rig here in the studio.
I walk in, and what do I see?
Just Sam, pantsless, just doting around, playing dotes on the... I loaded up a bot game, and you saved me.
Crushing.
Actually.
I was getting
shit on.
That's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, actually. It is pretty embarrassing. I'm going to blame it on the new rig.
It takes some getting used to. It's a lot of computer, a lot of hardware.
But then, I then walked in on you reading what I thought was code. But no, it's not code. What is it, Ben?
So this is the readme for the latest version of Dwarf Fortress. I just downloaded the newest version, which is, I think, maybe a couple months old still. But yeah, I was just going through all the bug fixes, things that are new and
You're
changed.
You're going through the patch notes?
Yeah, just, okay. For funsies.
Yeah, well, tell me about Dwarf Fortress.
So, please. Dwarf Fortress... I hesitate to use the word game. Why? It's more than that.
Oh!
Yeah, it's... No, it's a game. It's actually two or three different games, depending on again, how you define the word game. But it's basically an open-world simulation that you... I guess the primary game is you control, well, you don't exactly control, but you have a bunch of dwarves at your disposal, and
yes,
you design and build a fortress in the side of a mountain or,
yes,
under a lake or,
yep,
basically any number of places. But it's, I guess, would be most accurate to describe it as a fantasy world simulator. So at the beginning of the,
yes,
game, you create a fantastical world that,
yes,
has basically a population of tens of thousands. It has individual objects and artifacts. Everything is completely modeled. I've heard different figures thrown around, but I'm trying to remember. I think the where am I going with this?
No, just talking about Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah. So the guy who it's basically two brothers who have created it by themselves in Texas, and one of them is a former PhD math professor, and the two of them have been programming games ever since they were little,
yeah,
kids. But it's basically on the level of complexity I've heard as like the NORAD 2 missile defense system. So just like the number of things it's actually modeling is insane. So probably the most striking thing about Dwarf Fortress, it's funny, you saw me looking at the readme,
yeah,
because the actual graphics look very similar to a text document. It's,
yes,
all ASCII characters, and it will still make your, like even this rig crunch down to like 15 frames a second, 10 frames a second. It uses a lot of processor power.
It's intense. Yeah, to give folks who have no background with this game, I certainly didn't until Ben showed me it. It's almost like SimCity, Like the like if you played that like growing up as a kid, like the very early versions of SimCity, which were not at all like the graphics weren't great. It was more about like it's that idea.
Yeah, it's basically just like playing with all these layers of complexity and seeing what crazy things can possibly happen.
Yeah, and I do it a disservice. It is not SimCity. SimCity is a piece of garbage.
SimCity's great.
No, you can't even say that with a straight face.
Well, no, like compared to Dwarf Fortress, SimCity is like, you know, playing dice.
Adriana has made an entrance into the studio.
Class of 2012, Bard College.
Class of 2012, Bard College.
I don't play any games, really.
Well, you don't have to play any games now. We're just talking about games we like playing or we grew up playing.
Checkers. You like checkers?
No, you played Crazy Taxi.
I played a lot of Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, you guys speak into the mic here. Adrian just literally rolled out of bed and wandered into the studio, so this is a
again, studio.
Yeah, this is very exciting. Please tell us about your high school days and Crazy Taxi on the Xbox, I believe it was.
Oh. Yeah, my dad bought an Xbox, we had Crazy Taxi and Dead or Alive 2. And I was a hardcore button masher for Dead or Alive 2, but I loved it. I just mashed them. But Crazy Taxi, I got kind of okay at. Yeah. And then we also had Dance Dance Revolution. Because
classic.
I think...
With the, like, foot pads.
Yeah, because both my dad and my sister, like, my mom was into running, I was into running. They were not so much into that kind of activity, so they got to play some Dance Dance Revolution, and, you know?
I didn't, see, I knew that you played a little bit in high school, but I didn't realize that your dad had bought the Xbox.
Of course!
I thought that it was at, like, your friend's house you would go... And play Crazy Taxi.
No, I played Crazy Taxi at home. What I played at my friend's house was Halo Capture the Flag.
Which you didn't like.
I loved Halo.
Oh, you liked it.
I don't like Halo.
You don't like Halo.
I don't like Halo. I don't like not knowing where I am in the alien ship. Yeah. It's very I don't like playing by myself really all that much. But Halo Capture the Flag is fantastic.
CTF, classic.
Classic. Did you now? What was your console then? I'm talking to Ben.
So yeah. my parents actually did not allow me to have a console. Their opinion was that the PC was bad enough.
Strict Jewish household.
Very very strict. Very Jewish household. Yes, celebrated Shabbat every week. I was on a strict PC diet of real-time strategy and first-person shooter games, and the occasional role-playing game.
Did they know that that was, like, 10 times worse than anything that was going on their console.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, because in real-time strategy games, you can really have the mass genocide of a civilization of people, or, you know,
console games. Did any of your friends?
Yeah, so all of, like, pretty much... All of the kids that I hung out with in elementary school all had an N64, so I played got to play a lot of Smash Brothers, a lot of Mario Kart over at their houses. Always got my ass whooped.
The classic.
Because, you know, consoles suck.
PC Master Race.
Yeah, bro.
That was definitely the worst part about not having a console in your house. You would want to play, right? Because you're like, you like video games and you're competitive and, you know, you're hanging out with your friends. But then you just get trashed.
Just like, completely destroyed. And, like, you know, there was a point where, like, obviously you would be button mashing when you're first learning. But then, like, you kind of learn, like, in Smash Bros., you know, the up B, up side B. Like, you learn how to do your smash and move all this other stuff. But, like, just the number of hours that they've clocked...
It'll always be more.
They'll always be better than you. Yes, you get better, but they've gained even further, more sophisticated.
And I actually remember there was one kid who lived down the street from me who had, I guess, had like just gotten the game Yoshi, which I had played, Yoshi's Island, which I had played a bunch at my friend's house.
Yeah.
And so, like, the first time we ever played, I was like better, like I could get further than him, and then the next time, it just... sucked again. Yeah.
Okay, computer game. This is the other computer game I played a lot in my youth. Escape from Monkey Island.
Oh, classic adventure.
Tell us about, I don't know anything about that.
Okay, so you're, I think my recollection, you're kind of a hapless wannabe pirate, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds...
You're trying to be good, you're in love with this girl, she's maybe, or you're married to her, she maybe gets kidnapped by an evil, like, ghost pirate.
Okay.
And you have to solve all these problems, like, to get her back, sort of. All
right.
Yeah, like, puzzle adventure game had these, like, great, like, hand-drawn animated graphics, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Like, just, and hilarious. Like, just really funny writing.
Yeah, really funny writing, really, like, kind of, like, zany puzzle, like silly situations that this kind of oafish but sweet protagonist gets into. Yeah.
So it's a puzzle game.
Yeah, like puzzle slash adventure, but like kind of the linear, like you're definitely progressing towards the one objective of finishing the game.
I don't think I ever finished the game, though.
No.
I don't know.
Well, it's, you know, it's a lot of puzzles.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It's very puzzling.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's why my parents liked it a lot.
It's pretty much a full-time job.
It's like,
job,
you just go and you sit and you think about puzzles and it was not too violent.
Semi-educational.
Yeah, it almost felt educational.
Keeps you off the streets.
We'd be remiss in not if we didn't mention Myst in that category.
Yes.
Of games. Did any of you guys... Do you even know what I'm talking about?
I know the name Myst. I think my brother played that. My brother played that, and he played Doom. And I would watch him play Doom and I was not allowed to play Doom.
So good. Did you play Myst? Did you?
No, my... So, my eldest sister, Pamela, who's a doctor and a nerd. God bless her. God bless her.
Of course she played Myst.
She wrecked Myst.
That's actually fun. My sister, who was also a doctor, Kira, also played Myst.
Yeah.
And Rick, like, she had, the, like, the journal and the, like, took the extensive notes. Like,
yes, in retrospect, this was, like, an extremely intellectual and, like, three-dimensional and innovative game because... Yeah, you get this real journal that you...
You use a physical pencil to write things
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and... It was actually awesome.
It's almost like taking a clinical note.
Right.
It's like it prepared them.
So you heard it here first, folks. If you want your child to become a doctor, you get them to play Myst.
Yep.
It's like probably 20 years old by now, and I'm sure it's great.
It's still as good. It's better even than the first day it was released.
So your brother played Doom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fond memories of watching him play Doom?
It was fun to watch. It was a little scary, you know, because I was probably five. And he was sort of younger.
It's like
younger. Scary.
Like that game's sound design was like cutting edge at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still scary to like, you know, like the sound of a door opening somewhere and like you don't see the creature yet, it's sneaking up behind you, like, and like you're really in that first person.
Yeah, that first-person aspect made it very thrilling, but also very terrifying.
Yeah.
I think that's so interesting. So, I was thinking about, you know, Adriana telling us about watching her brother play. Like, Ben, did you ever watch other folks play games?
Yeah, like, a lot of the time, actually. Because like,
that was part of going over to your friend's house.
Was
that
you get to watch them get further than you are capable of getting.
Precisely, like, you know, you'd be like, alright, we're going to play the one player, but we're going to switch off, and inevitably you would fucking suck. So,
right, it's
you
like,
know,
2 minutes later it's their turn.
Right. But, you end up watching a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite memories was actually at my friend's house. We were playing Bomberman. Did you ever play it? Yeah, it was... I think they still have like versions of it that sometimes come out, but it was basically just a game where it's like you're this little guy who like drops bombs and like tosses bombs, and like they're the big cartoony Looney Tunes style bombs, like the round ones. But basically, we were playing this game, which I sucked at, but, you know, he had created his account, I had, like, my character account, and then he decided to, like, help me out and, like, give me some progress, so he was, like, playing through, and then he got to this boss, which he hadn't been able to beat on his account, and he beat it on my account, and he got so pissed off, but, so then he started playing on my account. account.
So he stole your account.
He stole my character. He clearly put the work in.
He sounds like a terrible friend.
Great guy.
The other reason I bring it up is just because, like, now, like, watching folks play games is totally different. Like, you can go
it's
on...
It's like a leisure activity. Like, yeah, it's like, an enjoyable...
There's a whole website dedicated to
there
it, right?
That's many what... websites. Yeah, websites. Like, I do a lot of it in my free time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, watching individuals or watching teams play video games. It's kind of bizarre.
Well, it's...
I did find it weird when I realized that's what you were doing sometimes on your phone.
Yeah,
but
so,
I get it more now. It's kind of how you learn a little bit, watching other people play. I mean, it's important to understand, if you're playing that much, it's important to understand different ways that the game can be played. But I was a little confused when I realized you were just on YouTube
watching
the game that you like. Not playing it, watching it.
It sounds weird. Well, see, to me, it doesn't seem that weird, especially thinking about, like, history of video games and, like, you know, like, yeah, you
well,
spend
like,
a lot
as,
of time watching.
As the, like, level of complexity has increased over the years, like, it's gotten to a point where, like, no matter how many hours I ever put in, I'm not gonna be as good as, like, the best players of, like, Dota or Supreme Commander or, like, any of these games, and, like, the things that they can figure out how to do with the game engine are just so crazy that, like, you can, like, if you're watching a good channel that has, like, selected good games, you can see some just crazy shit of, like, people who have invested thousands of hours to figure out that you can, you know, do a certain thing. But, like, I mean, really, I think what's happened recently with, like, watching video games is, like, it's just become a lot more socially acceptable, you know, like, and, you know, everybody watches, like, football and soccer, and, like, that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the moment it's not, like, real people out there on the field, like... I mean, like, honestly, the appeal of football to me, the reason I like watching football, I like the violence. Like, I want to watch huge dudes just, like, mess each other up on the field. And that's, like, fucked up. It feels a little fucked up. So, like, to be able to watch people, like, fake kill themselves online is, like, you get that same kind of satisfaction, but without the guilt.
Yeah, I mean, well, all right. First
of all, brain damage.
I'm glad you found a positive release for these violence. And,
you know, it's got to come from somewhere.
This bloodlust that you have. No, and the other thing is that it, you know, due to the internet, it's become a lot easier to watch really anything you want to watch.
Yeah,
not just video games, but, you know.
Like,
anything.
Yeah, high-definition streaming now is, like, 10 years ago would have been unheard of. Like, now, it's so easy.
I like that you mentioned, though, that there are these people who, you know, have played for thousands, and they're professionals.
Yes,
I mean, they're
professional
in the way that we watch professional athletes a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, many people watch professional sports. We're now watching professional video games.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, they're sponsored by, like, Red Bull or, like, other energy drinks. Like, it's, like, you can make money doing it. Like, you can make a good living doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of parallels to be drawn to sports. I mean, I don't want to dive too deep into Dota specifically, just because you two... Well, Ben has played.
I think it's... I think there's a lot to dive into there.
There is. I don't know if I want to go down that rabbit hole. Other than just to say, like, yeah, it's, like, very much a team sport.
Yeah. And I think, as opposed to, like, traditional real-time strategy games where, like, it's two people each controlling an army, it's, like... Each person is controlling their single character. So it's like, when you're rooting for, you know, the, like, the team you like, or, like, the individual players that you like, that's actually one person who is, like, making the decisions or, you know, doing what they're doing to...
Yeah, it's, it becomes a lot easier to be a fan in some ways.
Because,
like, I know that there are a lot of difficulties in, like, televising or, like, showing, specifically Dota, especially to folks who don't know the game, because it's a huge amount of information. But at its core, right, it's like five people on one team, five people on the other team, and...
Destroy the other guy's tower.
They want to take the other guy's tower. So, like, I think it has a lot in common with you know, the things that we like in sports.
Yeah, because, like, we really like those kind of layered levels of complexity. Like, you know, I mean, like, the only example I can think of is in, you know, football when they're, like, going back and reviewing,
oh my God,
some complex pass to see if it was, you know, was his foot in bounds, was it out of bounds, was it, you know.
I was actually listening to this interview So his name is Arsene Wenger. He's the manager of Arsenal Football Club. He's been doing the job. He's been at Arsenal for about 20 years. So he's been at the top of his profession for a really long time, which is really interesting to me. Maybe we can dive into that later. But just to be at the pinnacle, essentially, of your field for 20 years is like, an astounding amount of time.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had. I'm gonna misquote him, but the essence of his quote was like. The question was essentially like how do you stay at the top of the game for this long, and how, you know, like, just the day to day, like, how do you get through it? And he was just like, well, soccer is so complicated that, like, it's always new, and I'm always learning something. And, I mean, for me as a soccer player, that's 100% true, but it's also can be applied to, like, whatever game you enjoy, right? So, like, I mean, for me, like, Dota, like, that game is so damn complicated that, yeah, literally every time I play, something new happens, and something weird, and some weird interaction happens, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that before.
Well, it's like, the fantastic thing about these, like, about computer gaming in general is that, like, you can get, like, patches that will, you know, add a new character or, like, change the rules slightly. And every time that happens, like, even if they've just added one new character, now you have to figure out all the possible combinations of that one character versus every single other character.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm glad they don't change the rules of medicine too often for your Adriana.
Or isn't it, like, just constantly?
It's a whole new world, though, that we're getting into. Day. You know, we'll see. I'm glad I have some time before I'm actually out in the real world.
Adriana's a med student.
Yeah. Did you play Myst, Adriana?
I did not play Myst. Unfortunately, I'm confounding.
There's still time.
This small sample size we have. Mm. No, the game I have played most recently as a medical student is Microbe Invader. Ooh. Someone took the time to pretty much build Pokemon, like old school Pokemon, but with bacteria and illnesses.
So, like, you fight different bacteria and, like, figure out what they're... That's fucking genius.
Yes. It's that's actually genius. Kind of hard, and I stopped playing it after a little while because I didn't know enough of the bacteria yet, and it was taking a lot of time to walk around in the game.
It gives a whole new meaning to Gotta Catch 'Em All.
That's my most recent gaming experience.
Did you actually, was it effective, do you think?
Yeah. Especially the first couple ones I learned. Like, I learned that Klebsiella often gives alcoholics pneumonia, and it's present in your stomach, and then you throw up, it gets into your lungs, and you get pneumonia.
That's quite the mnemonic device. Like,
it was just an experience, and you're treating this alcoholic in the hospital, and he tells you his symptoms. Yeah, it's stuck. Stuff.
There you have it, folks.
The beauty of gaming.
No, that's... It is. I mean, that's cool. Did you ever play old school Pokemon? Either of you?
I did. A friend of mine who
the,
I think...
The Game Boy game or the card game or both?
The Game Boy game.
Okay.
Game Boy game.
I was given a pink Game Boy and Pokemon cartridge by a friend of mine who I think had a crush on me.
That sounds like a crush.
Well, you should take advantage of
that. I don't think it was a new pink one. I don't know why he had a pink one already. He did not buy it. He did not buy it.
He stole his sister's.
But he didn't not buy it.
But the card game, I didn't actually play it, but I did have a scheme in third grade to buy the cards in bulk with my friend and sell them to our classmates, but we couldn't get a good supplier. It was a challenge.
Yeah, I remember there was quite the black market of Pokemon packs. You know, you could never have enough.
Yeah, because the idea would be to buy the what is it called? The case, like a case. A case of individual packs, and then you would resell the pack.
That was the goal.
That was the goal. But you didn't have enough startup funds.
We couldn't find a supplier for the case, I think, was the problem. I don't know. We were 8. The internet wasn't really a thing yet.
No, it's true. That does affect things. This is important, listeners. There was a time, all right, in my lifetime where the internet wasn't a thing. And it was hard.
It was.
You couldn't just buy anything at any time on the internet.
No, it was truly a challenge.
You had to, like, go places and find things.
Which was also
and ask,
kind of,
like, people questions face-to-face.
You had to call phone numbers and talk to them on the phone.
This is the segment where we become cranky old men. So just give us a
minute.
Is
there a little theme music for this section?
I don't know. My impression is that Ben is really glad these dark days are behind us.
I think so.
Of talking to
people. Yeah, it's nice. The Amazon One Click, I appreciate it very much.
Amazon One Click.
It's dangerous, but it's better than how it used to be.
Well, the thing that I find astounding about Pokemon is that kids who are now 8 still play.
Yeah.
What?
Like, just, I mean...
Really into it.
As far as I know, the mechanics of, like, the Game Boy game are identical. You know, it's just different.
They just added Pokemon.
Yeah.
What?
Well, no. Like, even more so, the 8-year-old you know that you're talking about still plays with the cards. Doesn't he collect the cards?
He collects the cards. It's the same thing. They just keep printing money.
It's genius, Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah, good job.
Yeah, it's a very simple formula. You know, it's like dog fighting, but for kids.
Wow. You went there.
When you think about it.
No.
Let's just collect the natural wildlife from our surroundings and put them into little arenas and get them to beat the shit out of each other.
Alright, you know, I never thought of that, but you're not wrong.
Pokemon isn't a death battle, though.
But it's not a death battle.
But, I mean, you know, think about a Charizard versus a Pikachu. Like, he's not knocked out there. He's just getting burnt to a crisp and dying. Like, that has to be. Or, like, versus one of the little insect ones.
The insect ones are sad.
He, like, blows fire on them and he passes out. Anyway.
But then they get revived what was the place? The hospital?
Yeah, the Poké Center.
Poké Center.
Nurse Joy.
Nurse Joy.
Nurse Joy everywhere.
What a lady.
What a lady.
So have either of you played Pokemon Go?
So I tried to play Pokemon Go. And, you know, Nintendo or whoever makes that game, I know you're listening to this podcast, so let me tell you a few things. I got frustrated with it because I thought it would be Pokemon, but just on your phone, and that's not what it was, so I was disappointed. Because as it turns out, I don't care about just catching the Pokemon for catching the Pokemon's sake.
Can you not fight them?
You, like, have to level up to a certain level, and then you can take them to a gym, and you fight there, but that's only against other people. I don't want any of that.
It's too social for
it's
you.
It's too much.
You have to go outside. Nobody needs that.
I don't mind actually walking around and stuff. I think that's cool. I'm glad that people like it. But I just want to fight random... You know, I just want the game. I don't care about
it. Doesn't satisfy your bloodlust.
True.
Efficiently.
True.
It's basically that game, like Pokemon Snap. I don't remember. I think that was the name of it. It was something like that. But it was basically an N64 game where you're like just going around taking pictures of Pokemon and that's it. That's all that happens. Nothing else happens. It's like, oh, look, there's a Pokemon. Click.
I remember that game.
Move on to the next spot.
I would love for a different Pokemon game to be on the phone where it was just pretty much like Pokemon Red, Pokemon Blue.
But in the real world.
Or it doesn't have to be. Whatever you want. Just put it on the phone. Like, you can't tell me that my computer phone does not have more processing power than the original Game Boy.
But it doesn't have the cool little gamepad.
The cross.
True.
Yeah.
It has a freaking touchscreen, guys.
But the nostalgia, Sam. The nostalgia.
Alright, you're right. What else we got? Want to go eat some donuts?
Yeah.
Alright. Folks, thanks for listening to our rants and ravings.
We'll get into some Dwarf Fortress more later.
Yeah,
if you'd like.
if you want, you know, Ben can come back anytime, talk Dwarf Fortress, we can talk more video games. You know, I live with Mrs. Pirate, so she's also available.
All the time.
All the time, anytime, most days. She's looking at me like, please stop, I hate you, I don't ever want to be on your podcast again.
You should do a Let's Play walkthrough of Myst.
Wow.
I can't get started on Myst. I'm studying for boards.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Ajon has real responsibilities.
Yeah.
But you and I, we should...
I don't have any.
Yeah, we should do some more Dota stuff. Cause, for sure. So
I want to get more in depth. I want to
get into the nitty gritty here. Ben's got about like 15 hours clocked. I tried to get him in. He's played a few games. He's willing.
I liked the dwarf sniper guy. He was fun.
Yeah, he liked sniper. He is fun. He's a fun hero.
He's a fun character.
All right. Very well, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.